Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. There I am. Whew. Electronics. So does anybody know what next Sunday is? We kind of have a special Sunday next Sunday. No food. Acapella Sunday. All right, so this is why I'm telling you this. Don't be scared. Okay? And there's reasons that we're doing this. We want to help you learn the hymns for your personal growth, for your family's growth. We want you to learn how to sing and not have to say we need a piano or we want you to train. Now, I'm going to tell you guys this. I'm a terrible singer. I can't carry a note in a bucket. When I get to heaven, though, that I'm going to sing, somebody's going to have to turn to me and say, Brandon, please be quiet. Because then I'll have a perfect voice, perfect pitch. No, I'm going to sing like, but we want to help you be comfortable enough, and we're going to use, if I can say, simple hymns, easier, more familiar hymns, and we want you to be able to just get used to it. So you can do this. So you can sing in your personal quiet time. Now, if y'all could come over to the house at 4:30 and catch me, I'm singing. Because nobody else can hear me. So but there's other benefits. So next Sunday, we're going to do this every fifth Sunday. And hopefully we're going to get you guys, we're trying to train you. Which, y'all are hard to train. Y'all are supposed to say amen to that. Yeah, that's right. So just remember next Sunday, come and work at it, and don't just sit there and take, we're going to do it together with gusto, okay, and learn. And hopefully you're going to take those hymns and go, oh, I can sing this at my house with me, by myself. All right. Ephesians chapter 1. We are flying through this book already. I mean, we find ourselves in verse 15. And I think this is our fourth sermon. And so we're in 15. We're going to look at 15, 16, and 17 this morning. I was going to try to do 15 through 23, which is the whole prayer. It's a prayer of Paul's. And so we saw praise in the first part. Paul praising God for salvation, and now we see him praying. And so often very often those two things go together, praise and prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask him to help us, and let's get into this. Lord, we come to you this morning truly because there is nowhere else for us to go. If we run to our own strengths, our own wisdom and knowledge and opinions, Lord, how empty is that? If we run to the world's philosophy and knowledge and wisdom and understanding, how dreadful is the end of that. So, Lord, we run to you. Please do not leave us to ourselves. Lord, you know everybody here. There's not a person, not a soul that you do not know and see intimately in what's going on in their lives. Nothing is hidden to you. Not any sin, not any thing that we hold on to, idle, and Lord, the things that easily beset us, Lord, none of those things are hidden to you. You see them all clearly. So Lord, help us as we come to this passage. Lord, in this prayer of Paul, he's praying that you help believers, help us understand you better. Lord, that's really our continuous prayer. Help us to see you more clearly. Grant us repentance. Show us the things in our lives that grieve you. Do a work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I had to break this up. Thursday, I was so overwhelmed Thursday trying and felt just pressure to try to finish writing to verse 23 that I just stopped and I said, Lord, there's no way I can even explain the first three verses clearly enough if you gave me weeks to do this. I cannot do justice to this. And so I'm dividing it up again. So this prayer, we're going to get four parts of it this morning, and then next week I'm going to follow up with another 4 points of showing you 8 points or 8 elements of Paul's prayer. So if you want a title, if you have the outline that I printed up for you in the back, it's a resource in God's new society. This new society that the Lord has made, which is the body of Christ, believers, this new and different society than the world, than any country, than any other land, tribe, nation. It's this new society of believers. There's a resource that he's given us, a resource, and it's prayer. It's prayer. There are many necessary and worthy ventures that compete in the Christian's life, that compete for our time and our energies. And like I said, worthy ventures, things that are right to do. But can I say to you, believer, but without any doubt, prayer is one of the most important spiritual exercises we will ever engage in. It is one of the most important exercises you will ever be a partaker of. Prayer nurtures the soul. It builds character. It promotes spiritual growth. It gives strength. Listen to this. It levels emotions. It clears vision. It aids to understanding. The truth is, I don't know where this list could end. Amen? Where would I end this list? What is it that prayer doesn't do? Well, it doesn't lead us to sin. We could say that, right? But in walking with the Lord, in walking through this life, what is it that prayer doesn't help with? The day of judgment, and it's coming, will likely show those who have been the most effective in advancing the kingdom. And I tend to think and believe, I don't know this to be true, that those who have spent the most time on their knees are probably the most effective. Those who spend time praying and interceding on the behalf of family and friends and loved ones, those who spend that intimate time before God, I think are probably going to be the most effective in the kingdom of God. Well, we will see. We will all see. Alongside prayer is most definitely the Word of God, which we're going to address that today and next week. But along with prayer is the Word of God. And unquestionably, these two are truly the mightiest, greatest weapons a believer could ever have, could ever use in the struggles in this evil world. I fully believe that. The Holy Scriptures and prayer. For a believer to have these two things, to be in Christ means you're filled with the Spirit. Because I know some of you theologians out there are saying, well, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, to be a believer means you have the Holy Spirit in you. So the Spirit being in you gives, and the Lord giving you, equipping you with the tools of prayer and Scripture. Truly are mighty weapons. A believer's prayer life, you can see it in people. Their lives mirror their prayer lives. You look at people's lives, watch them. You will see quickly their depth of prayer, their life of prayer. It reflects the depth of their emotions. Hang on, I'm building a case here for you. It reflects their tenderness of their affections, the sincerity of their devotion. It reflects the revelation. It shows you their values. You can see in a person's prayer life the who, the what, the where, and the when do they pray. I was asking a young lady even this week, how often does your husband pray with you? How often did your husband pray with you? I was stunned to my core. And I was like, wait a minute. Are you telling me those times that you... Because And Beth was with me. When she shared this, I was so taken back. I didn't understand her. I was like, I'm miscommunicating to her. And I said to her, So you're telling me those times, all those times that you went to the doctor and hospital and procedures after procedures, you're telling me your husband never not one time stopped and said, "We're praying." Yes, that's right. As I was unpacking this, it was stunning to realize that, oh, he would pray at church. But he didn't pray at home. Something's bad wrong. Bad wrong. I will tell you this. I don't know if you can even be a believer and not know how to cry out to God Almighty. These prayers that we see, and that one of them we're going to start looking at today, are truly some of the highlights of the Apostle Paul's writings, even in his great passages of salvation, are linked to passages of prayer. Some of them are very short, but all of them are wonderfully deep and comprehensive. They're wonderfully rich. And this is a chance for you, believer, for me. This is a chance right now, this morning. You have a chance and an opportunity to learn from the Apostle Paul in how to pray. This particular prayer that we are looking at is by no means an ordinary prayer. What we are starting to look at this morning, and I'm not even sure we're going to get through three verses. So we may be here in this prayer for several weeks. That's up to the Lord. But in this prayer that we are going to look at, it is so full of instruction that it's really difficult. It's hard for me as I look at it to know where the prayer ends and the teaching begins. Like when I'm looking through this, how is it? And I'm going, okay, he's still praying this. And when I understand the depth of Paul's understanding and what he's voicing to God, it changes. It changes. And I'm praying that it will change us. I'm praying that it will change your prayer life. And please don't show of hands, but I would care to venture that I'm sure everybody here, especially all the believers, that you are saying in your life, yes, I want my prayer life. Well, here's an opportunity. And I'm not counting myself. I'm not excluding myself. I have to work through this way more than you guys do. So here is an opportunity today for us to grow. Here's an opportunity. And I pray that that is what happens. So I'm going to read the prayer as a whole. We're going to start with verse 15 because this prayer really goes to the end of the chapter. Okay? So we're going to start in verse 15. And then we're going to go all the way to verse 23. But we're only going to try to get through three verses. Here it is. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceedingly greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fits all in all. All right, let's get after it. This morning we are at school. This is school. We're going to learn. And listen, your test is coming. It's coming. So I hope that the Lord gives me grace to be a teacher, a good teacher. But you also need to be good students. Amen. So let's look at this. We see in the very first point, you have it in your outline, the occasion. Paul gives us an occasion for why he is praying. Do you know every time you pray, there's a motive? Did you know that? There is something that moves us to go to the Lord. I will tell you this, we've got a lot of heartaches and struggles going on in our little body right now. I was talking to Ben and Grayson and Mr. Dick about Clark and Nancy being in Phoenix, starting his cancer treatment tomorrow. Leo cancer. I mean, there's a lot happening in our little body. And it's God's grace that pushes us and reminds us how much we need him. That awakens something in us. Because if he were just to leave you to yourself, can I tell you, as wonderful as some of you guys are, that y'all would never run to him. And so in this, Paul gives us the occasion, what motivates him to do this. And really, we see two things that he mentions that moved him to prayer, that moved the apostle to pray this prayer. And I think it's something that we need to look at. I think we need to say, hey, what is it that moved the Apostle Paul? And do these things move us? Now, it's not an all-inclusive list. I don't want you to think, well, Paul, God didn't move me in this way, so I shouldn't pray. Come on, guys. Right? But I think it's deep, and I think it helps us understand that the Apostle Paul had a motive to pray. And I think it's the first is in this suggestion of the word therefore, or some of your translations may be wherefore. And in our Sunday school, boys, I'm going to put you on the what when we read therefore, what do? We got to figure out what it's there for. When it's wherefore, we figure out what it's there for. So we look at this very first word, therefore, and I think you've got it ties it back to what he was saying. So let's just look at verse 13 and 14. Let me read it. It says, in him, who's the him? It's a capital H. It's in Christ. In Christ. It's not in whoever wants it. It's those that are in Christ. In him, who in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So the first reason that moves him is Paul is saying here, he's saying, hey, I'm praying because you're in Christ. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about this passage as I was watching Ryan Pickwick preaching and teaching us on Zoom from Turkey. And he was tearing it up. And I was sitting there so thankful for him. I was like, Lord, this is so good. I'm so grateful for him. Look at what you've done in this young man who's picked his family up and moved to Turkey. Now, I'm not telling you you have to move to Yemen, okay? But it does my heart good. And I was like, I understand what Paul was saying. Paul was giving thing, he was like, man, this motivates me. Do you know what? When I watch Ryan, it motivates me to pray for them more. When he shares these stories with us, buddy, it motivates me to prayer. Amen. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, I see the work that the Lord is doing in your life. It's evident. I see the growth. Paul sets out this singular point of watching God's grace work in these people. He's saying, man, it is evident. The Holy Spirit has sealed you. Let's just get this right. You know, when the Holy Spirit has you, he doesn't lose you. You hear me? The question is, does he have you? Because there's a lot of people that can say, yes, 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 I believe, I believe, I believe. And they're going to hell all day long. And so we see here that Paul's singular point is God's grace in giving to these believers and God sealing them with the Holy Spirit. He says, that moves me to pray for you. Glory. The second is also brought out in actually two words, which are kind of all mingled together. He says, because of your faith and your love. It's the second occasion that I see here. He's saying, man, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith, 13 and 14, in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints. Faith and love. Two of the greatest words in all of Scripture. Amen. It describes, it should be a description of all believers. It should be our character. Love and faith. I want you to know here that faith, this word faith, it's a very interesting word here. The brief understanding of this word faith means trust. Trust. And what he's saying in your faith, he's saying really their continued experience. He's saying, I'm looking at your faith and I have seen its continued experience of consistency and fidelity. It's the same word, exact same word. If you look at the listing of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, when it gets to the word faithfulness. And so what Paul's saying is that what the Lord has done, I'm looking at your life and what the Lord has done, and then what he is continuing to do. I'm overwhelmed. But it moves him to what? To pray. I'll tell you this. Any grandmother in here, any grandfather, any parent in here, you know this. When you have an adult child and you're looking at an adult child and you have seen faith in him, of her working, it motivates you to keep praying. It moves you. There's joy in which we're going to find. I'm going to tie all this up together. You're going to learn more. But he's talking and pointing to a direct faithfulness. Love is the other word, which is an easy Greek word, agape, a word that many of you have heard many times. It means a caring love, a love that doesn't sit and count sacrifices. It's not a love that says this is too great for anyone. It's a love that is not focused on Paul's needs. It's a love that Paul is focusing on their needs, the subject's needs. It's a love that's not counting his own cost, but a love that is focused on them. And I want you to look at what this is, the occasion, the reasons why he's praying and who he's praying to. Do you see? He is praying for somebody. Do you know who the people are? You see it. Yeah. It's not just for the saints. Who's it for? All the saints. It's not just praying. Think about your prayer life. It's not just praying for your family. It's not just praying for yourself. It's not just praying for your friends. It's not just praying for the people that you like. This is not about you. Agape love is a caring, tender love, a love that counts. It's not sitting there going, well, I don't like that guy. It is easy to love your own. It's easy to pray for your own. But to pray and love and serve the body of Christ on your knees, that's hard. And listen, and it's disappointing. So we see just in this first point, in just understanding the motive, the occasion of why Paul is praying, it's overwhelming. I would say we are neglecting most of those points. If we just stop there. But guess what? The correction continues. Verse 16, he says he prays. We see he prays with a thanksgiving in his heart. Look at this. In verse 16, do not cease to give thanks for you. What? Maybe Paul had a lot better people to pray for. Amen? That's probably what you're thinking. Well, Paul, you aren't praying. Your prayer list doesn't look like my prayer list. Come on, guys. Really? But look at this. This is, I'm not making this up. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Thanksgiving. He was thankful for them. This is not Paul, listen to me, this is not Paul being forgetting. This is not him forgetting about who he's praying for. He knew the church of Ephesus. He spent 3 years with them. Do you remember when he left in Exodus? And if you look in Acts chapter 20, when Paul left, they were weeping. They were begging Paul to stay. Please don't leave. Do y'all remember that? Look it up. Read your Bibles. They longed for Paul. And it's not like Paul just forgot who these people were and forgot their moral and spiritual deficits. Right? It's not like Paul was forgetting and going, man, I'm so thankful for these people. Man, it's not like so often. Y'all are going to laugh at this. But do you remember looking at your dad and with I'll say this. I remember looking at my dad when Calvin came along. And that dude was a different dude. He was not the same dad that raised me. And going, who are you? It's not like Paul was forgetting who they were. Just like my dad didn't forget. I thought he did. The truth is, he knew better, more fully than I ever did. And so it's not like Paul forgot about their moral and spiritual deficits in these people. He knew their faults and still loved them anyways. But can I tell you, and I'm going to show you something this morning that I pray absolutely changes your life. What Paul was doing is he was able to trust the Lord's grace and trust the Lord to work it out in their lives. And I think I can prove this to you. I think I can prove to you that in Paul giving thanks, he was looking at these believers. He's not looking at unbelievers. We're going to get to that. He's looking at these believers and he's motivated and moved to pray. And he's looking at them and watching them and seeing them and he's praying for them. And he's thanking God for them, for what God is doing in their lives. So Paul uses this word for thanksgiving. I want you to see this. 26 times in his writing, in just the letters. Now, I'm not going to... This same word for giving thanks, he uses 26 times. Now, I'm going to give you just a few of them, just four. Okay? You write it down. In Romans 1:8, it says this, that he was giving thanks. For the faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul was saying, I'm thanking God for you because God's using your words throughout the whole world. Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, he says, for the grace of God which was given in you in Christ Jesus. And those folks were messed up. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, upon every remembrance of them, he was given thanks. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, it says this. Get this one. We are bound to thank God always for you. Wow! I mean, it's not just that I'm motivated. It's not just I'm moved. I'm bound. Unpack that for a little while. And so 26 times he uses this same type of phrasing. Can I tell you? I think this indicates in Paul's life a bright, joyful state of mind. And you might go, wait a minute, preacher, what? And let me explain what I'm saying, because I don't think it's hard to prove, is that when he's thinking about these believers, he's joyful about it. He's constantly reminded of the work of grace, that it never stops, which has been given to him also, which he sees in them. And it's a great hope for the future. Amen? That when we see this working, like I know if Ryan's listening, he's probably going to get embarrassed of me talking about him. Because Ryan, you're dirt. You're worm dirt. Okay? And there's nothing good in you but Christ. Okay, but when you see these young men and you see God working in them, you remember God. You're like, man, God's doing this in me too. I see the grace of God. It's encouraging. So when you walk in the grace of God and I walk in the grace of God and we do this all together, guess what? It motivates us to pray. It moves us. Listen, boys, I'm sorry for putting you on the spot, but we were talking this morning. Can I tell you, when I knew Clark and Nancy were flying to Phoenix for his treatment, do you know I picked up a phone and I called the pastor of a Reformed Baptist church? And he's not there. He's gone. He's on vacation. And Becca Rebecca, my Rebecca, our Rebecca, not mine, emailed the elders and said, listen, a family from our church is coming out here for cancer treatment. Do you know those elders got together? They contacted Clark and Nancy. What do we need? What's your dietary restrictions? What's going on? What do you need a place to stay? Where's the hot? They started asking, and I mean, when Clark and Nancy talked, they were like, this is awesome. That encourages me. You don't think that motivates my prayer life? For those people I don't even know? You hear me? That's what I'm talking about. When you see the grace of God, when you see Him doing work, it motivates you. It changes you. And when we see this going on in other people's life, it moves us. He was reminded constantly of the grace of God working in them, and thanksgiving just came out. Now let me give you a little test. We're not going to go down this road, but praying for unbelievers aren't so. Right? When you're praying for those that are not in Christ, that are struggling in this world and fighting against Christ and doing, your prayer is different, isn't it? Amen. I mean, come on. It's not like you have a gratitude for the suffering that they're going through and the misery of sin, right? And I would care to venture that your prayer goes something similar like this. Lord, only You can do this. Only You can help them. You do whatever You've got to do. But Lord, please help them know You as Savior. Amen? It's different. That's not a heart full of thanksgiving and praise. Point number three. Man, y'all need to hurry up. On the first part of verse 17, this is really where it gets good. Okay? This is really where it gets good. He prays for them to have a spirit of wisdom. Okay? Verse 17, the first half of verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you to you the spirit of wisdom. All right, let's stop right there. First of all, I want you to know that the major portion of this prayer is an intercession. Paul's interceding. Right here is where the intercession starts happening, where he's starting to intercede on their behalf. And secondly, I want you to notice this. You need to get this, okay? The burden of prayer is towards God. His prayer, the burden of it, is to God, the Father. It's not the recipients. It's not the people he's praying for, and it's not even the contributor of the prayer. And I say contributor because if you're praying correctly, you're praying in the Spirit and being moved and motivated by God moving you, and you're contributing to this. And so we see this vitally important piece, which is it's towards God. Look at this. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, what's the next word? May give to you. God, please do this. You're the only, he's acknowledging God is the only one that can do this. That we would do well to understand this point and learn it. That prayer is not about what the circumstances, and listen, I get so twisted up about this. I have to stop myself all the time, because especially when I'm praying for my children, I look at what's going on around them, and I get so caught up in what's happening instead of going, Lord, it doesn't matter what's happening. You're the only one that can do anything. Right? But we get so caught up in all these earthly things instead of going, Lord, if you may. Lord, if you choose to do this, it's up to you, nobody else. Our focus gets off, and especially with our children. Our focus gets on them and all the circumstances that's going on in life. And we forget who it's to. Even in our prayers. Even in our prayer life. So we see here, verse 7, give to you the spirit of wisdom. Which is really, really easy here. The spirit of wisdom is the to interpret correctly. We've got to understand it's about understanding in the mind. It's about understanding, really, it's about understanding Scripture correctly. Handling Scripture rightly. It's not just about reasoning through some problems. It's about having wisdom from God in how to deal with situations. It's about going to God and looking 20 years ahead and 40 years ahead and back. And it's going to God and being able to see as much as possible what God sees. It's about having wisdom and having this spirit of wisdom to stop yourself and go, okay, how do we handle, what is the biblical way of handling these situations that's correct? To have wisdom in that Paul is talking about is to be able to have a spiritual disposition by which we are able to comprehend divine truth in what's happening all around us, in our families, in our marriages, with our relationships, and being able to take information and do with this and be comprehensive in reasoning through what to do. It's truly a simple thing, but it's complex because it's taking the mind that God has given you, the intellect that God has given you, and then it's being empowered and indwelled by the Spirit of God. Because remember, we're talking about those who are in Christ. And so it's this mind that God has given you, and it's in Christ. It's been consumed by Christ to understand Scripture and rightly divide His Word so that you can maneuver through this world. Wisdom, a spirit of wisdom, so that you can guide through this world. And so in Him saying that this is truth, if you were saying the spirit of wisdom, listen, isn't all truth the epitome, the bottom line of truth? Isn't all truth from God? And so it is as if it's God's truth, and let Him work it through. Let God work in this. This is what I mean, Mom and Dad. And I'm the worst. I am the chief of sinners. Ask my children. Hear me. You can ask my wife. We have these conversations all the time. I want to choke Jesus into my children. It can't happen. God has to do that. It is against all of my theology. It's against all that I believe. But I look and I get in a panic and I look at them and I'm like, you need to love Jesus. It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. I can sit there and go, well, I'm doing it out of love. And that's true. It just doesn't work. A spirit of wisdom. And lastly, which I've got more, but we've got to wrap this up. He prays for them to have full knowledge of Him. Look at this. In verse 17, the second half, he says, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Again, let me make this point. It is imperative for us to understand clearly that this wisdom and knowledge is not a part. It's not separated from Scripture. Because how many believers, how many Christians will say, well, it's not in the Bible. It's not anything, this spirit of wisdom and knowledge, and I'm about to show you this. I'm going to show you this, hopefully. It's not something separated from Scripture, but it's united. It's combined with Scripture. It's in joint. It's together with Scripture. How many times have you heard somebody say, when you've been talking and looking at a verse, they've said, well, not my God. That's right. They're right. Yep. Because the God of Scripture says this. Well, not my God. That's scary. How about this? Not my Jesus. And even worse than that, how about, wait a minute. Baptists don't do it that way. Right? I will tell you this. Your pastor doesn't give a flip what Baptists do or don't do. I'm serious. I promise you that. Do you know what I do care about? What New Hope does. What my family does. What my kids do. What you guys do. So it's understanding, it's having wisdom that's combined with Scripture. Also, the knowledge of which Paul is speaking of here is not simply of not a knowledge of having facts, of knowing, understanding and knowing all these facts and information. It's the knowledge of God transforming their lives and watching lives being transformed by God's grace and the renewing of their minds. It's watching the Word of God working in people's lives and it's changing them. It's knowledge that translates into how you live. I have spoke to so many young preachers. It's crazy. And I have talked to them till I'm blue in the face. Matter of fact, I'm not even invited to speak at BCF anymore. Do you know why? Because the last time I spoke to them, the very last time, I told them in class, the very first point I brought up is half of y'all are not even qualified to be behind the pulpit. And I said, and the other half, by the time your kids get 30, you're not going to be qualified. I did not get invited back. And I'm sitting there and I'm in this knowledge. It's not just having information and being able to talk. It's knowledge that of God's grace that you have seen it transform things. True. Do you know why there's so much sin behind the pulpit? Do you mean to tell you? It's because they've watched false grace. They've manufactured that grace. They've worked that grace. If they really saw the hand of God coming down, they would fear that grace. Do you know why there's so much? They don't fear the Almighty. They don't see it happening. And they think, well, I just got away with it and it's not going to happen again. I mean, what? Who's going to stop? I can lie about this and lie about that. And it happens behind God's sacred desk. I know we have young ears here, but I'm going to say this. If I ever cheated on that woman, I wouldn't be able to crawl myself back up here. That's the bride of my youth. That's the woman God has given me. If I can't love her correctly, how am I ever going to handle the Word of God correctly? And when we talk about him praying and people saying, you know, I want to, it's this knowledge is much more than just being up here. It's it living it in your life. Amen. It's being able to say, I know this is true. I have seen it not just change me and my family and my marriage. I have watched it change others. I got to tell you this. This word fullness here, I was sharing this with Beth this morning. This word that he's saying, full of knowledge, this is a very unique word. It's a special word. This word full means that it's like, okay, let's equate it, because what do we often equate being full to? Eating. Okay. This word fullness doesn't mean you're full on eating Doritos and Cheetos. Okay, this word full, and let me explain this to you. This is why it's the complexity of God saving you where you are, who you are, filling you with the Spirit, moving you to giving you a spirit of wisdom, giving you full knowledge. It's using who you are. I use this example, and I'm going to use it for, y'all may not know this, Beth Griffin. Yeah. She knows what I'm going to say. Beth Griffin hates English peas. English peas. She likes snap peas. She's a good old country girl. English peas, she can't do it. I mean, it's like, she cannot, even the thought, she can't get over. Okay? You, listen, this is critical, and then we're going to go home. I promise. You will grow through this one point. You don't get full off things you hate. Things that you don't get full off things you dislike. You know what you get full of? Things you love. So the things in your life that you love, you want more of. If you love Jesus, guess what? If you want to know His Word, if you want to have knowledge and have discernment and godly wisdom, you know the Scriptures. And you get full of it. But this is a special type of fullness. Okay? It's not the fullness that you have after Thanksgiving, where you're like, oh, where you're no good. That's not the full that I'm talking about. This is a fullness that God brings where you have, there's nothing more that you need. That's what this word means. And so get what Paul's praying. Look at this. He's saying, man, I moved. Verse 15, by what God has done in your life and your continued faithfulness and your continued love. And I can't stop praising God for you. I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then verse 17, and that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father glory, that He may give to you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him. Glory! That's praying. And so we see four of the eight elements. And next week we'll have four more. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. For your goodness, for your grace in our lives. Help us, God. Do a work in our lives. Grant repentance. Move us, Lord. Help us, Father. Lord, we can do more upon our knees than we could ever do. That we could ever work, that we could ever accomplish. And help us learn what it means to be a prayer warrior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.